You guys want this joke Jeopardy style or regular?
Jeopardy style,
Yeah,
please. You want
100%. Punchline first? All right, you asked for this. Nuts and bolts.
I give up.
What does a robot do after sex?
Oh, God. You can't use that because I laughed too hard at it. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad. I'm Cade.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Sean.
And we're the Hi Dads podcast where we make cocktails, go through the history of them, make some riffs on them, and just generally talk about being a dad and living. And we're not bartenders, but we do like to make drinks. So tonight we're going to be talking about two New Orleans cocktails. What are they, Sean?
They are the Vieux Carré and the La Louisiane.
I bet you grew up having these. Probably you probably had your first one in a bottle, didn't you?
You know what? Maybe, but I didn't drink till I was 21.
I remember that you were such a pain in the
First of
ass in
all, you were
college.
almost 21. You almost made it.
Bull. I'm calling bull. Not on Aaron, because too chaser. But bull on Cade, because y'all had rides everywhere until I
Almost.
turned 21.
Well, as long as we let you take our car for sure.
Well,
And
yeah, I
stop
didn't
by
have a
Crystal
car.
Burger and buy him food.
That is true. You were a good designated driver.
I was a great designated driver. I was
It
y'all's only designated
it's
driver.
true.
All
It's true.
You were the designated driver that would take us on all your errands before you took
us. Like, yeah, I'll take you to the ABC store as long as you don't mind stopping at Target, Walmart, and the grocery store before.
Also, can you drive me to Slidell next weekend? That'd be great.
No, I rode home with Brad a lot.
That's right. That's right. Oh, Brad. Well, cool. Tonight, Vieux Carré and La Louisiane, a double header, both New Orleans drinks. Before we dive into the history of them, I've got a Vieux Carré in hand, but I think one of you guys was going to walk through how do you make it?
Oh yeah. Sean, do you want to do this one
You
or
want
shall I?
I think you do the Vieux Carré because you make one of the best Vieux Carrés I've ever had.
Ooh, baby. Well, how I make it is so it's a little hard to come by Benedictine where I'm at. I do have a bottle, but what we have a lot of is what they call Dom B&B, which is Benedictine and Brandy. So for my Vieux Carré, what I do is like 3/4 ounces of that, Benedictine and Brandy, 3/4 ounces of your sweet vermouth. I'm using a Cochi, the De Torino, Di Torino.
Been having, but it's so good.
It's delish. And then I'm gonna do 1.5 to 2 ounces Templeton rye is what I have, but a rye whiskey. Like 4 dashes of Peychaud's bitters. I'll put like a single dropper dash of Angostura in there too, for my Vieux Carré. So usually I'll make it old fashioned style and stir it on a large cube. But tonight we looked up the official recipe and it's supposed to be served up. So tonight I'm drinking it up in a coupe with orange garnish. Delicious.
Nice.
Sweet. That sounds like a delicious drink, Aaron.
It is.
I wonder, how would you even think up such a drink? Like, where could it have even, how do you sit there and go, here's a drink? I wonder how that happened.
I don't know how they thought of it because that technology doesn't exist yet.
Thinking?
But
Thinking?
reading their minds of how they thought of it. But
Robot Cade, read mind.
I can tell you when it was thought of and where. It was down in New Orleans at the Hotel Montleon beer
Oh,
bar called the Carousel Bar.
yeah,
And
I think I've taken both of y'all there,
I've
right?
been to Carousel Bar.
I've
Yes, sir.
stayed at the Hotel Montleon. Me
Oh.
and Big Sean and Brad
Oh,
and
God.
Jesse all stayed
Tight.
at the Hotel Montleon.
And In one room.
Wait, yes, in one room.
Well, all right, story time. Sorry, history be darned.
The most vivid memory I have is that Brad got sick and he went and got in the bathtub to get sick, but he kept his teeth together as he was getting sick and turned his head side to side like a sprinkler.
Brad was so weird.
It just went everywhere.
That was fun.
It was terrible.
We're coming out hot tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a great trip, and it's a historical hotel, family owned. Basically, I think the guy had a bar down the street, and then he was like, this property came open, this hotel, so he bought it, fixed it up, named it after the family name, Hotel Montleon. I think 5 generations have owned that, and it's still open today. Nice historic hotel off of Royal Street, I believe, Sean. You probably know better than I. It's one of those where the exact time frame is a little murky, but basically around the 1930s, it was first published in what's it called, New Orleans Drinks and How to Fix Them.
Yeah, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. But
that
yeah.
book came out.
You've got it right. Like if you Google New Orleans Drinks and How to Mix Them, and that'll get you there.
The guy's name, it's like Arthur is his last name. He's the Arthur. But so
he's got 2 first names.
It's one of those drinks. It was lucky that it was written down, and because there was a period where a lot of these drinks kind of went out of vogue because it's got multiple ingredients, several ingredients, and that's probably one of the reasons why it wasn't as popular for a while. But as the cocktail revival has kicked off, it's been more common to find it in bars, even outside New Orleans. And there's been some revival.
That doesn't make sense to me. There's lots of cocktails with multiple ingredients. I don't, what do you mean? So why would that be the reason it would go out of vogue?
I'd say multiple ingredients that you don't always.
Yeah.
Benedictine. That's a specialty ingredient, I guess.
Yeah. I would say Benedictine.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people carry cognac. I didn't have cognac. I've got like 10, 12 different Amaros, a dozen or so different types of bitters, 4 different types of gin. I didn't have any cognac. It's just not a...
Okay, you know what I'm going to ask about, right?
What's that?
So, you know, I'm using Benedictine and Brandy, which is like a 50-50 Benedictine Brandy mix. So I'm using Brandy instead of cognac. What's the difference in Brandy and cognac, Cade?
That wasn't on my assignment.
You're
list.
Supposed to be the history guy.
No, I know this. I know this because we learned it in our Sazerac episode.
Did we?
All right. Yeah. Brandy is like a fruit or, you know, sort of distilled thing, typically grapes. Cognac is, you know, the same thing. So all cognacs are brandies, but not all brandy is cognac. Schnapps is a brandy. Cognac's a brandy.
Yeah.
It's there. A specific like, kind of like from a right, yeah, from like, the right
so
region
cognac
or whatever.
Specifically comes from a type of grape in the cognac region of France.
It's like the champagne thing.
Right, right.
I gotcha. Well, I've got some cognac tonight. I've got some Doucet, whatever that means. And I have Benedictine. D'USSE with a funny squiggle above it. Pretty good as far as cognacs go. I don't have much to compare it to.
Yeah, it's like I don't, you know, it's like when I first started out with getting vermouths, you know, I just said, all right, Martini Rossi's fine.
Yeah,
because I didn't really have anything to compare it to when you're making them a couple days in a row versus I only had this drink out at a bar once a year to compare it to. So when you do that, now I know some vermouths versus other vermouths. I don't have that for cognac. I've like you, Cade. I still don't have a cognac. I bought a brandy for tonight.
Yeah, it's fine. So regarding vermouth, I still think the Carpano Antica formula is one of the best. But I've been using the Dolan Rouge, and man, it's perfectly fine. Like it's still good vermouth.
It's one of those ones where you're still getting good vermouth, but at a price point.
It's so much cheaper than the Carpano.
Yeah. So, like, it's harder to find because it doesn't have the marketing, but that's what also helps keep the price low.
Yeah, it's great. I dig it. But so anyway, that's kind of the history. It was one of those things. It was made as their, like, signature drink at the Carousel Bar inside Hotel Montleon. and it got written down in a book. It stayed as a mainstay at that bar, but it's had a revival, and now you can find it anywhere from Sydney, Australia to San Francisco, California.
What's it mean?
That is a great question. It means, it's a French word, and it means old quarter, which is what the French quarter used to be called. So it is named after the French quarter when they called it the old quarter, Vieux Carré.
Nice.
You know, Aaron, you were mentioning all these like crazy ingredients, right? Like, where did you get that? Who would think of that? A lot of people think that one of the reasons it was named that about the block and the mix of ingredients is because you had French and European and Italians all living together in New Orleans. And so if you look at the ingredients of that cocktail and Creoles, you've got the rye whiskey, cognac of the French, vermouth of the Italians. And that's kind of one of the rationales behind the drink, was to try to get a sense of the community there in the drink. Anyway, maybe Cade was going to say that later and I just blew it, but.
No, I love the way you said it, Sean. Great job. That was sincerity, by the way.
You guys don't know me like a robot, no matter what. Somebody got a sincere compliment, and we were all like, how to react.
No knows.
Ooh, emotions.
That's the history of the Vieux Carré. The La Louisiane, honestly, it's very similar, except it was a restaurant that was called La Louisiane. It was a Creole restaurant, and they wanted to have a kind of a namesake.
I've eaten at it.
Have you really?
No, I'm lying.
He got you good.
April Fool's.
Gotcha. So we are recording on April Fool's.
Yeah, it's April 1st. I know y'all are listening to this on like August 2nd, but we're recording.
2029.
Yeah.
After we all die in that fiery car crash.
Y'all remember internet? That's when we recorded this.
Why did they have to go to Nebraska? We don't understand why they went to, and then they drove to Nebraska. They called it a guy's trip. Why Nebraska?
I guess we died in a fiery car wreck on the way to Nebraska.
is that why we get... Are we posthumous right now?
Yeah.
God, if people are listening to it, I think for sure we are.
We're definitely
playing grave at each of our funerals right now. This moment. You know they had a podcast in their almost 40s. Let's play a clip.
I give permission for this to be used as each of our eulogies.
Let's make eulogies, huh? All each of our funerals is a the anthology of High Dads gets played.
Just funeral, do you think will be
a clip reel?
Like, oh, son of a biscuit, Aaron died. Now we've got to go to a 5-hour funeral.
They're gonna want to play every podcast. You'll know that, right? I'm just going to the graveside. Maybe they won't notice.
60 years after their last episode, the Vieux Carré in La Louisiane, they're still talked about it.
Right. That's right. So back to the La Louisiane in the here and now.
We're way out in the field.
We did digress. It, namesake of the restaurant, the La Louisiane restaurant, and it. Some people think that it was after, like in competition to the Hotel Montleon and the Carousel Bar, but it has absinthe in it. And we'll have one of you guys walk everybody through it in a moment, but it has absinthe in it. And so
finish drinking your Vieux Carrés.
Yeah, it was likely done much before the Vieux Carré because it was absent. It was hard to find it, and it was an illegal spirit for a long time. So it most likely predates the Vieux Carré, according to most of the internet lore that I could dig through. But it was, I believe it was also featured in the same book, New Orleans Drinks and How to Mix Them or How to Fix Them. So they're both kind of there. I would say the Vieux Carré is probably more well-known than the La Louisiane. Both of these drinks are a lot like kind of a Manhattan riff. You've got your rye, you got your sweet vermouth, and then it diverges from there, I think, into
basically a Nola Hattie, but you add some riffs, like a little Benedictine in there.
They riffed on your Nola Hattie.
My theory is that a Manhattan and a Sazerac met up, fell in love, had relations.
Nuts and bolts.
Drink. This is the drink. He brought it back.
Are we married to that joke for the intro?
We are now.
I mean, we're doing,
you know, people back. Aren't going to understand it when it happens, but now that it's been referenced, they're going to go, oh, they had to leave it in.
I'm all in.
That's a little bit of the history of both the Vucre and the La Louisiane, New Orleans style drinks. I've just about finished my Vucre, so I'm going to polish this off. I think when we come back, Sean is going to walk us through a La Louisiane.
Yes, yes.
We'll be back in a minute.
Peace.
And we're back.
So that break was awesome. You guys don't even understand. We're ready to make
a La Louisiane, I think, right?
Yeah, Sean, can you walk us through it?
Yeah. Well, before I walk you through, do you think everybody's had enough time to drink their Vucarays?
Buddy, I'm drinking it right away. I hope y'all didn't.
Saying it's a good drink. I agree. All right. So if you are making a La Louisiane, I went on 6 different websites. I found 6 different recipes. So I tried them, and here is what I found to be my favorite ratio. Maybe it'll be yours. Go 2 ounces of rye whiskey.
You got that, Kate? 2 ounces of rye.
1 ounce of your sweet vermouth. 1 ounce of Benedictine. Give yourself 3 dashes of Peychaud's bitters. Oh, I heard every dash. I love it. And if you want to add an Angostura or 2, I'm not against it, but I don't think it's in the traditional recipe. I like it. And then I add a bar spoon of some sort of anisette, like absinthe or herb saint. I wouldn't add any more than a teaspoon. It's going to take over if you add more than a teaspoon. All right. And then you want to add ice, stir it, and then strain it into a frozen coupe or frozen Nicanora. If you like, you can spritz an absinthe rinse or an herb saint rinse. In my situation, that's what I did. And there is your La Louisiane.
All right. I'm going to give it a sip. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It is different than the Vucre for sure.
It's
similar but so different. It makes no sense.
All right, so I came across that's my preferred recipe of La Louisiane, because if you go look it up online, you'll probably do like me and make it from the very first website you see. But if you also are like me, you're gonna wonder, well, why do I need 12 websites on it? Are they all the same? So I open up a lot. And with La Louisiane, I opened up 6 tabs and I found 6 different La Louisiane recipes. I just found that interesting about the drink in general, that, you know, it's that old of a drink, but there's not really a very solid, this is the drink anyway.
I wonder if it's because like it didn't ever get nationally popular, so like it's just local variations or something.
Sean, what I found most interesting is you went to 6 different websites on your computer, and then you could have easily opened a spreadsheet, but you wrote down all the different variations by hand on a piece of paper, just like a spreadsheet.
My mind functions in spreadsheet, but the way just working with the tabs, it's quicker for me to write it down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And if this were my job, yeah, maybe I would transcribe this stuff into a spreadsheet form. You're not wrong.
Man,
paper spreadsheet. And it was awesome.
I love spreadsheets, dude. I love spreadsheets.
You're like addicted to spreadsheets, man. I used to be addicted to the Hokey Pokey, but then I turned myself around.
Idiot. I mean, all right. Yeah, no, I love spreadsheets. All right, so I'm about to out how much of a nerd I am.
Nerd out.
Vacation I go on, I make a spreadsheet of the vacation.
What aspects of the vacations are you chronicling in your spreadsheets?
All right. Okay. Oh, you really put me on the spot here. All right. So I put each day that I'm going, including the date, you know, whether it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, Saturday, you know, the order. Yeah.
We all know the days of the week, I hope.
I know what order days of the week.
But I set them out of order.
They have a calendar, too. You heard
of them? Well, if life...
So would... I make a in Cade's words, a calendar of my trip.
How many weekends does it last?
Oh, man, it's just... that's when you're on vacation, what's the difference between weekend and...
I'm saying. Week,
you know? Anyway.
What is on this spreadsheet? It's got days on it, is all that you've told us.
The top is each day and date, and down the other axis is every hour of the day. So 1 a.m. to midnight.
Okay.
And I literally plot out what I have available to do every hour of the trip.
Here's what I'm going to tell you is y'all think he's kidding, but we're going on a trip in 2 weeks, literally. And I have at least 3 spreadsheets about this trip in my...
Oh, wow.
And
it's... Well, awesome. y'all got my Colorado spreadsheet, right?
Well, we got Colorado spreadsheets for sure. Yeah.
Does it have conditional formatting?
No. I don't like conditional formatting, man. It always messes up, and you spend more time conditional formatting than if you're just a competent person doing tabbing and using the bulleting.
All right. And I guess you wouldn't really need nested ifs in a situation like this. Did you know that you can name cells in spreadsheet?
You know, I do know that because I sent you the TikTok that taught me that.
Oh, snap.
You know, you don't watch all my TikToks, so I don't know if you watch the same one. I don't know if we're talking about the same thing for the same reason, I only learned it in the past week or two.
Yeah. I also recently learned that. I think it was some sort of viral video, and sorry I missed your TikTok. The 60 you sent last week.
Yeah.
I always say you don't even need to scroll Reddit, Cade, if you just look at my curated links.
Yeah, some of them are pretty good.
and
every now and again, I'll click
ones you skip are ones you send from Reddit 2 weeks later.
That's all right. We all get the same. We're all getting the same.
We all get there. We all get there.
We're having a good time.
Speaking of algorithms, I did try to use a little bit of some ChatGPT to script our podcast, and I'll be honest, it was really impressive. If you just tell it, here's a podcast, it's three dads, and we want it to be funny with some dad humor, making cocktails, and even include a bit about drinks we make for our wives. It will give you a line-by-line podcast that's, I mean, the humor is dry and kind of a little sexist, to be honest, because it was, we're making cocktails for our wives, the ones they'll actually drink anyway.
When they did crack a joke right there. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. All right.
Don't you guys hate it when someone answers their own questions? I do.
We took a little unofficial break there, but we were talking about ChatGPT, and we're going to read through a script. I asked them to make a podcast script that I gave them the prompt. In the introduction of the podcast, I want you to have Aaron start out with just a funny question about a random topic. Okay. Here's what ChatGPT prepared for us.
Oh, are we starting? And see. Hey, guys, before we get started, I got to ask you a question.
Shoot.
Let's hear it.
All right. If animals could talk, which one do you think would be the most annoying?
That's a tough one.
I'm going to go with squirrel. Can you imagine having to listen to their chattering all day long?
First of all, yes. But secondly, good one.
I'm going to say a parrot. They'd be repeating everything you say and never stop talking.
But at least they could say, I love you. back to you.
That's true.
All right, let's get down to business. We're here to talk about cocktails, specifically the Vucaré and the Lalu.
I think my joke today was much better than that.
I think it was definitely better than that. But, it can write a script. It can write lines. It can kind of even give you some structure to pretty much anything. I don't know. I was pretty impressed with it. And it's just hilarious seeing what kind of garbage comes out of it sometimes, too. Yeah. Anyway,
I think next time we should teach it a little more. Like, we don't want to just tell a joke, but we want to tell a joke from like a mixture of Richard Pryor and Adam Sandler and Go.
You think it could channel all that?
I don't think we could pull off Richard Pryor.
Good point. I know, but that's how funny I want it to be.
So I got to ask y'all this. Have you feeding y'all's wife any booze lately?
Oh, I have. I've made a drink for my wife.
Is this about to turn into drinks we make for our wives?
It is. So all week I've been experimenting with my proportions. So I've made a lot of La Louisiane. This is the one that I made for my wife.
It's actually not the worst thing you've ever given me.
Oh, she seems not committal.
Yeah, but
nah, she seemed to be okay with it.
It's not for everybody, and I think the absinthe, like any anisette, can be a strong flavor for a lot of folks.
Her specifically is she's not a whiskey drinker, right? Typically, any whiskey cocktail I make her, she has said, "I don't, you know, that's gross. Just keep it away." Like old fashioned, Sazerac. Manhattan, They're all the same, keep them away. And then here's this drink that's basically a Manhattan, almost a Sazerac. Both drinks she said she didn't like, and then now somehow they're married, and it's, she said, oh, surprisingly, that's delicious. So I think that's interesting that it strikes that balance there where somebody new likes it with more elements than those drinks, which were a little more simple.
I'll tell you this. My wife actually also tried it, and she didn't like it at all. I'll just go ahead and say that. I do have a recording if we wanted to play it. We don't have to.
Play it. I want to hear it. All right.
Oh, that's so much whiskey. No, thank you. I'm good.
It's delicious.
You're wrong. Although it's not the worst one you've ever made.
All right.
Wow.
He didn't like it.
Oh.
So, but I wonder, she did say it's not, the one thing she threw out there was that it's not the worst one she's tried. So I wonder if it's like that honey flavor, because, you know,
that brings up a couple questions.
Kind of got a honey flavor.
Like, what, first of all, what are you making that was the worst one she tried?
Anything with whiskey.
Second of all, anything with whiskey. I wonder if I made this for her. My wife hates whiskey too. If maybe I just make a better La Louisiane than you.
I mean, maybe, but my wife just pretty much hates, she hates most of the ingredients of this drink. I think she just picked up a little bit of the honey flavor.
I think a lot of the ingredients we use sometimes have that herbal, medicinal kind of quality to them. And I know that my wife in particular does not like vermouth, sweet or dry.
Yeah.
One ingredient I've identified is not her cup of tea. It's not something that she enjoys, is vermouth in any form or fashion.
So I've got a variation later where there's no vermouth. And so I wonder if...
Tell us now. Describe it. Let's hear it.
I guess I could tell you now.
You can tell us now.
All right. A variation. It was kind of a variation on the La Louisiane, just because I subbed the vermouth out for an Amaro. And I used Amaro Lucano. I've actually got a pre-batch of the same thing my lined up cocktail that I'm about to pour is that same thing, but instead of vermouth, instead of Lucano, it's Chenard. So I'm about to drink that, and I think it's going to be great. So if you don't like vermouth, I think you can sub in one of those sweet herbal liqueurs Amaro's, and you might get close enough to that flavor, but in a different flavor profile than the vermouth that can be a little medicinal to some people, to where maybe they don't get that with the Amaro's. It kind of takes out that medicinal old wine flavor and puts in a more herbal sweetness.
I'll try that sales pitch. I'll say, hey, honey, I took out the sweet vermouth and I used artichoke liquor. I think you're going to love this.
Why is an artichoke liqueur such a delicious thing?
So good. Chenard,
it's so great. It's
got to be one of my top three Amaro.
I'm never going to not have it
again. I agree.
Yeah, I think it's a permanent fixture in my liquor cabinet now.
Yeah, it's good. Well, what I'd like to do right now is get ready for my next riff on one of these. Take a little break.
Yes.
We'll come back. Do it. Jump right into it.
Can I tell you something? Perfect timing. I got to honestly take a little tinkle.
Oh, go do it. Go do it. I got to pour another cocktail.
We're not going to have a sound effect for that.
Tinkle, tinkle.
All right. So we're back, and I just mixed the riff I was talking about where it's Chenard, whiskey, Benedictine, Herb Saint, and Pigtoad's Bitters as my riff. And I'm about to drink it. Let's see how it is.
Drinks we make for our Sean.
Bing.
He doesn't like it.
No. The opposite. I'm kind of mad at how freaking good that is.
Oh.
That's very good.
What flavors do you perceive?
I'm mad because Louisiane's one of my favorite cocktails ever.
Oh, you mentioned that.
And this might be better. This might be better with Chenard instead of vermouth. What should I call it?
What do you call it?
A La Chan Louisiane. I don't have a name. I don't have a name. We need to think of one. Maybe by the end of this, we'll have a name for it. It can be a High Dad's, the Creole High Dad.
The Creole High Dad. I love it.
That's a good name. That's a great name.
The Creole High Dad.
The Creole.
You know what? All right. Interim Creole High Dad. You two go make this.
Oh, I can make
and
this.
And we can, if y'all agree, we can adopt this as the High Dad cocktail.
I'm going to not make it tonight because I'm already on my third cocktail.
It's a great idea. I might drink this same thing tomorrow.
That's your best April Fool's joke yet?
I can't believe I made them drink this. I made myself drink this. Ooh.
I'm glad you like your riff. We haven't really discussed what we like about the Vucaré or the La Louisiane as the base drinks at all.
Good point. That's true.
And so if you're not, you know, if you're listening to this in your car and you're not, you don't have like a mixing glass and a whole bar in your car to make
bar
them.
In a car.
A car bar.
A car bar. Dr. Cade's car bar.
You might wonder what these drinks taste like regarding the Vucaré. Manhattan-ish, the herbal notes of the Benedictine, the sweetness of the Benedictine, the Peychaud's Bitters, man. Peychaud's Bitters always hit differently for me.
Very.
Any other kind of bitters. And at first, I really did not like Peychaud's Bitters. I was like, I don't want that in anything. But they've grown on me. And it really does give it that special flavor. There are no bitters that are like Peychaud's Bitters, in my opinion.
They're a bit in the city.
Yeah, they're very really unique.
Good.
I like that about a Vucaré. It definitely is a very unique drink, and it definitely has that medicinal quality, but it's nice to sip on, and it's nice to enjoy it and laissez bon temps rouler, right?
Yeah. So I think both of them are independently a drink I could drink all night. It's not super thick. It's not super sweet. It's balanced.
It's boozy. If I had to pick
between
newbies.
What's that, Aaron?
It's boozy forward for a newbie.
They both are. They're very boozy. I think I would pick the La Louisiane would be my drink over the Vucaré. But without the knowledge of both of them existing, I'd pick either.
If I had a choice side by side, I'd pick Vucaré every time. The absinthe is it's enjoyable, but in small doses.
I don't think I could choose. Mm-hmm. They're different to me, right? Like one of them, you know, I don't know. I like them both.
Well, if they were side by side, you would have to choose, Aaron. You can't.
No, I can't.
Them. Yeah, dude.
Depends that's on my mood. Law. I would law. I would choose every time, but it depends on my mood. Are you saying you I can choose lie. One to have forever and never the other one?
Yes.
If I had to pick and I was picking a side by side, like the best I'd ever had of one and best I'd ever had of the other, I would pick the best I've ever had of La Louisiana.
I would take a Vucaray.
I'm not going to choose like that. I'm going to choose in every situation.
Tiebreaker?
Live in the moment. That's all you got to
do. Live in the moment. That's a tiebreaker. I kind of feel like that's fair because one of the things about the La Louisiana that Aaron didn't like with the Anisette is that it's there. It changes it to a whole different level. And I think what is the make or break for any La Louisiana drinker is what's your balance of the Anisette.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like the Sazerac, right? The Sazerac's so good because it's just a rinse in the glass. It's not really in the drink. But with the La Louisiana, you've got a little bit more volume than a Sazerac because you've got the Benedictine and the vermouth. I think the addition of no more than half a teaspoon in a La Louisiana of an anisette, in addition to an absinthe rinse of the glass, is all you need in a perfect La Louisiana.
I can see that. And we hit on this a little bit during the Sazerac episode. I've had several Sazeracs down in New Orleans at the Sazerac and at several other bars. And at one bar in particular, though, they added the absinthe into the drink rather than doing it like an absinthe rinse. And it really turned me off of them for a while because it was just like, I don't want to drink that ever again. But I think they put like a whole shot of absinthe in it rather than a rinse. And it changes the dynamic. It's not a kiss. It's a full on some other word. It's not a rinse. It's a douse. And it was way too much. It turned me off to it. So that balance though is critical for any of these. And I think that's why you see so many variations with the La Louisiane recipe, because everyone has different tastes with that. And you got to tune it in to what you like.
I think what I like about it, and Aaron mentioned this earlier, is it's a boozy cocktail.
Yeah.
And I feel like a La Louisiana, when you add in a little bit of absinthe, it's a high proof. It's going to be high proof.
Well, and I'll tell you what, you made it higher proof with this Chinar, buddy. Whew.
I know. That's the thing. Whew. So the rye is high proof and the absinthe is high proof. And I think what appeals to me with a La Louisiana is that I'm getting a cocktail where I feel that burn, but it's not a bad burn, and the flavors just go everywhere in your mouth.
Well, buddy, how did you listen to yourself?
It's a good drink. Go on. I told you it was my favorite cocktail, didn't I?
Only nine.
It's my favorite cocktail.
Is it your favorite cocktail?
Sean, could you tell us about your favorite cocktail?
Yeah.
All right. It's called A Last Word, and we've got.
We're not on that episode yet.
Good luck finding chartreuse.
I'll see if I remember this when we make Last Word, and if I call The Last Word my favorite cocktail. But
can I springboard off of your riff straight into my riff?
Yeah, I would love it.
So I made a riff during the break, and I'd researched it already, kind of what I wanted to do just based on flavor profiles. I'm drinking it now, and I've named it, and it's called the Vu Caribbean.
Oh,
that's nice.
To say I automatically know the bass riff on the name.
Yeah.
But there's no other, like, it's just brilliant. Okay, yeah, that's amazing.
Really good thank name.
You. So Vu Caribbean, and it's just a Vu Caray, but instead of the rye, you add rum. I chose to use rum, bourbon corked 8-year rum.
Ooh.
The agricole rum. So it's got that grassy herbal kind of flavor to it. It changes the whole drink, but it is light. It's herbal. It's sweet. It's darn good though. You still get
so if it's light, I would say the rahum is key there then.
The rahum brings a whole another layer to it, and it's super,
Because regular rum would be like, I wouldn't have called it light. So the rum must be like a light thing.
The rum is very light. My only regret is I don't have a little chunk of pineapple to garnish.
Oh.
Because it is.
Yeah, and like a 2 ounce shot of Malibu.
No.
I don't know about all that.
Kenny
But
Chesney.
that sounds like some stuff I'm gonna want when we're in Dominican Republic soon.
I'm gonna put sunscreen and sand on the rim. When are you guys going to the Dominican Republic?
It's two
We are
weeks
going
away,
to the
baby.
Dominican Republic in 2 weeks.
Awesome. I would encourage you guys while you're down there, if you buddy buddy up with a good bartender, convince to make you a Vu Caribbean.
I
Try
bet they won't have the right stuff.
What?
They'll have okay stuff.
They'll have
I
it.
bet they won't have all this.
They'll have rum
I bet they don't have rum that we'll
Haiti,
be
that's
able to
right
get.
next door. Hey, wait, hey, wait, real quick. Is Haiti right next door to Dominican
It
Republic?
is, yeah. No, you
Okay,
got
thank
the right
God.
island. His name is Hispaniola.
Wowzers.
But I wasn't
Yeah,
sure.
it's a whole island. There's two countries. It's kind of like UK.
I thought it was split
Jesus.
down the
It's
middle.
kind of like our brothers to the north, eh?
This Rahm Barbancourt is made in Haiti, so you should be able to get it.
So, I didn't do this riff. I just thought of it when you said that, though. But I wonder what this drink, either of these drinks, would be like with Cochi Americano in there because of the rye. But it would bring out whole different flavors.
Make it
We're
fruity.
going
Yeah.
a white vermouth over a red
Yeah,
vermouth.
but also like a sweet waiver. Like it's a, you
Yeah.
know, Cochi Americano's sweet.
Cochi's got a little spice to it too,
It
though,
is spicy,
right?
yeah, but it's not like a driver booth though. It's different. It's a
Yeah,
whole
but that
different thing.
spice could go well
Right.
with the whiskey, the rye.
Yeah.
Man, I
Yeah,
kind of
I
wish
love it.
you
I love it with rye. That's what I'm saying. Like I wish I had thought of to make that.
I'm fresh out of Cochi. I got a full bottle of Lillet I hadn't opened yet, but I'm fresh out of
I
Cochi.
think you could go Lillet instead of Cochi and still get a not obviously not the
They're
same, get
similar.
the idea.
I like the spice on the Cochi.
The Cochi has that spice. It goes so well with rye like that. Like
Yeah.
it's really good.
All right, my bad. So drop some black peppercorns in there. I don't know, man. Gosh.
I don't know if I want to do that.
So, Aaron and I, a lot of times we'll hit up Aperol, Cochi, and bourbon or rye, and it's awesome. And those three, it's like a ginger snap. It's so good. That,
It's real good.
that's a good little drink. I don't even know what that's called, but we drink it sometimes. Aaron forgot that we drank it, but
No, but see, here's no the Aperol, it changes it. It's sweeter. I use Campari a lot. And it's good with that. That was the original I think that I would make. And then Chinar is also good with it. And but Aperol, that's also good with it. The Aperol brings out more of a gingery flavor.
It really does.
Aaron, I don't know if we ever got your take on the Chenard variation.
Sean, I do like it, but I gotta tell you, I don't know. I think I like the other two drinks better, but
Okay.
this drink is still good. But it's more like it's like in the Boulevardier class or the
It
Negroni class to
brings it
me.
in the middle of those. Yeah, definitely does bring it
So it's
into
like I gotta
a
put my
weird
mind in
blend
a
of
whole different place, you
classifications.
know? Yeah, I gotta put my mind elsewhere. Like it's a whole different mindset, I think.
Yeah. But isn't that wild? All I did was change one thing and it makes the whole drink different.
Yeah, that's how they go, man.
That's a pretty big one, though.
This one's pretty different from the one ingredient. It really is. And Kate, I think when you are listening to this in edits and you go and make this, you're like, holy, that's a really good drink.
I will. That is when I'll make it, seriously.
I know, because I won't remember to tell you to make this.
Show.
I'll remember. I'll remember. Aaron, can you remind us about your Nola Hattie recipe? Because
Oh, for sure.
it's
Yeah.
really similar to a lot of these, but I remember the Nola Hattie, and it was unique and it was awesome.
So yeah, I mean, so basically that's a Manhattan. What I would do is I would start with Peychaud's bitters, orange bitters. I think I would do, I don't know, half the orange bitters, whatever Peychaud's you put in there, half of that should be orange, or half that, four dashes of Peychaud's if you do that. We're gonna do two orange, some kind of ratio like that.
All right.
And then I would do one part sweet vermouth and two parts rye.
Simple, simple. The key to it, I think, is you do a spritz of herb saint in the coupe before you pour it. And then the Peychaud's bitters is obviously a difference there.
So it's Patton with an herb saint or absinthe rinse,
and you're using Peychaud's, no Angostura.
Using Peychaud's instead of Angostura, yeah.
And then I think garnish with, originally I would garnish with some homemade bourbon cherries that I had. That's how I originally made the drink.
Oh yeah.
But I've switched to Luxardo's. I mean, that's like the gold standard, right? So,
Yeah. We made our own cherries for a while though.
yeah, fresh cherries, and you like make a bourbon like sugary glaze and just soak them in that for a while. They're delish. That's the Nola Hattie. So basically, and that's similar to how I make a La Louisiane too. I'll use two parts rye, one part sweet vermouth, and but I add the Benedictine too. So like one part Benedictine. So basically the Nola Hattie is just like my La Louisiane recipe minus Benedictine. Got the Nola Hattie. That's probably how it started.
Yeah, I love the Nola Hattie. Aaron is in love with the Nola Hattie. It's great.
It's a great drink. I like the Nola Hattie.
Like it.
What I like about the Nola Hattie is it's more accessible than some of these things. You don't need Benedictine. You don't need cognac.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. It's like an if you're like, hey, you want some New Orleans style drinks, but you don't have all these other ingredients, you could ease them into it. It's a gateway.
I agree with that because I'm on a budget and I've been making these drinks, and a lot of times I can't make a drink as soon as you can because I'm trying to build up ingredients. And that's kind of what it is with this one is, it's like, okay, I've always got whiskey, but we just did this cocktail and that cocktail, and none of them incorporated two of the ingredients in the La Louisiane that are expensive, and I can't buy them at the same time. So I can see how it might be one of those drinks where you don't, it's not stuff you have on hand. So you might only order it out at a bar.
Buddy, that's the most fun thing I've had about making this podcast with you
Yeah.
guys. It challenges me to like research ingredients and build out my bar and buy new ingredients that I probably wouldn't normally try and try drinking and have a little stock of Benedictine, a little stock of cognac. I would never have purchased cognac. And I had like a 20-minute conversation with a lady at the liquor store about cognac. And she really did not want me to buy cheap brandy, but she got me to buy this Douce cognac. It's really good though.
I bought cheap brandy.
I want to play around with some cognac now because I've got it.
My
Now,
brandy was on sale.
the only caveat to that is some of the things we're looking for is like green chartreuse that we're researching for some episodes down the road, and
Yep.
we'll dive deeper into that. But it's fun because it makes you research new ingredients and play around with them and just explore them and see what you like, what you don't like. I dig that.
And it is fun. It is a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, I've been building out my bar. We've been doing this podcast over a year now. We started over a year ago.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I don't know if I owned one Amaro a year ago, as opposed to like now I've got three or four different ones in my bar. And so it's really cool because you can mix and match based on the things you like. And it's a lot of fun.
I dig it. Let's take a quick break right here, and we'll be back in just a minute. And we're back. So, guys, I think we've dissected the Vieux-Carré, the La Louisiane, some New Orleans treats.
They're
And
related, but different. Very different.
yeah, they are. They're cousins. I'd say even they're kissing cousins.
Oh, I don't know about
Well, it's one of those Alabama
We're
terms.
not all from Louisiana. Aaron, I'm the only one not, but I'm from Louisiana, so.
Yeah. But they're both great drinks. They're fun. They're herbal. They hit you in all the right spots. I dig it. Vieux-Carré is my favorite. I'm Team
Yep.
Vieux-Carré.
I'm Team La Louisiane.
It's true. I love them both. All right. What you're going to want to do is follow us on Instagram if you want to see some pictures of these bad boys. If you know what I'm saying. At HIII underscore DADZ. That's the Hi Dads.
If you want to check out the podcast, you can find us on what's now Spotify for podcasters.
Spotify for podcasters.
You can
They really
also
just
find us
call it
on
Spotify in the culture.
Spotify. Pocket Cast, Amazon, Apple Podcasts,
Rocket Ships, no, Rocket Pod.
Pretty much anywhere your podcast can be, because we're on Pocket Cast.
If you don't know how to Google a podcast and you're listening to this podcast, I don't understand you.
Just say, who are the High Dads? We don't like them. And you'll find us.
Visit our Instagram, spread the word, because we've got new advertising revenue benchmarks.
All I know is, if you think you can beat us at Rocket League, come at us, bros.
That's what we're about to go do. All right, guys, happy April Fool's Day.
Yep. Aaron, Cade.
Yes, John.
You're my best friend and I love you.
Aw, I'm your best friend now. I love you too, man. You're
hurtful.
Hey, Aaron.
I'm listening.
You're my best friend. And I love you.
That.
This guy does not seem reliable.
Y'all are both my best friend. No, seriously, though, I love you, Aaron. I love you, Kate. Y'all are both my best friends.
Love you, boys.
I can't imagine every day without you.
Bye, dads.
Bye, dads.